It's Tuesday, August 28th, and you're listening to the Outsiders Comic Book Underground Podcast. This week's podcast is an extra special one, as we attended AnimeCon Expo 2012 right here in Barbados. We've got plenty of feedback and chatter from fans, exhibitors, as well as an interview with the one and only Allison Seeley Smith. You might know her as the voice of Storm for the X-Men animated series from the 90s. Stay tuned. Mark Gibson, I'm here with Miss Allison Seeley Smith, actor. She's worked in Canada. Specifically, she voiced the character Storm in pretty much every single X-Men animated series in the 90s. Allison, thanks for being here with us. Tell me, you're here at AnimeCon as a featured guest. Tell me a bit, what were you brought here for?
I was brought here on the basis of the fact that I've done a lot of cartoons. I am one of the better-known voice actors in Canada. At least I used to be, because the last time that I would have done something, last time I did voice work would have been quite a few years ago. 90s was the peak of it, when I was just doing a whole lot of series. But I think I've done about 16 to 20 different animated characters in different animated series, and so that was the reason that I was brought to AnimeCon. And I'm really, really glad, because otherwise I would probably not have come. And that's the one thing that I find absolutely amazing about Barbados, Mark, is that we're a tiny, tiny, tiny little island with, you know, a small, fairly almost closed society. Well, not really a closed society, but very small. And yet within this small country, in this small society, there are pockets and cliques and silos and compartments, and people have no idea what is happening on the other side. And, you know, we have this wonderful theory, we talk about young people this and young people that, and I would have to tell most people over 40 that they don't have a single freaking clue what young people in Barbados are actually doing. And if they want to know, they need to be coming out to places like AnimeCon.
This year you worked a lot outside of Barbados. You know what it's like out there in the wider world. You've seen and worked with a lot of talent in North America. Given that background, what's your opinion of some of the talent you've seen here this year at AnimeCon?
World class. I speak particularly of what I have seen in terms of the graphic illustrations, the graphic art, and particularly the comic books. Now, I was the first person, I had to ask somebody else, because I don't know. I'm not a comic book aficionado. I am not a graphic design person. I'm almost 53 years old, and I inhabit a slightly different world. What I've got is openness, so I want to learn. And I was looking at some of this graphic art, and I'm looking at different comic books, The Heart Man one, Shades of Grey, Discordia, and I'm going, this artwork looks really, 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 really good to me. To me, this thing looks world class. It looks like this is ready to get out into the global marketplace now. But I had to ask somebody else, and there was some dude that I was talking to who was, that's what he does, is he sells comic books. He owns a place and he sells comic books from all over the place. I said, so tell me something. How does Barbados's stuff compare? Are we there yet? Because to me, to my untrained, unexperienced eye, this thing looks really, really good. He says, yes, it's the best. It's really good. And I asked the same people who are here from Bang Zoom. I asked them, I said the same thing. I said, you're based in LA. I said, I see this work and it looks really, really good to me. Is it? She said, yes. She said, if you were to mix in some of those comic books with other comic books from around the world, nobody would be going through and going, oh, well, that's good. That's good. Oh, my God, this must come from the Caribbean, because it's not quite there yet. No. So we're there. What we're talking about now is marketing and distribution. We're talking about people getting a chance to be at conventions like this that happen in LA, that happen in Japan, that happen in France. We have to get out there. We have to find ways of marketing the stuff. And I don't know if we're going to do that when the powers that be, the people who sort of control the purse strings, don't even know that this stuff exists. But I'm really, really, I'm really pleasantly surprised.
Okay, so we start off with a panel discussion of voice acting, how you can make it in the industry. And the panelists are Allison Seeley Smith, voice of Storm in the X-Men animated series, Mami Okada, casting director for Bang Zoom Entertainment out of Los Angeles, and Victor Shroy, head of video editing out of Bang Zoom Entertainment.
It's one of the most asked questions is, you know, oh, I want to be a voice actor. And people say I have a cool voice. Can I be a voice actor? Actually, the truth is that it's not really about the voice, but it's more about acting. So you might think, oh, I have this cool, deep voice. Or you might say, I can do this voice and I can do this voice too. But to be honest, there is every single voice, there is a character for it. So don't worry about what kind of voice you have. Just focus on acting and how to be able to present it. It's your tool. So you can't, you know, you have to learn like you are learning singing or theater. But really when I audition meet many people, I always recommend taking classes. There are a lot of theater classes, singing classes. It's the same thing. You know, this is your tool. If you damage here, you are not making money. So you have to be able to do whatever the director asked you to do without hurting your voice. So please remember that and train your voice. And
there are a couple of things that I would add to that. You need to be absolutely fearless. There is no point being self-conscious. People are going to put you in a room and ask you to be a baby bird. And if you looking to see whether you look foolish or sound foolish, you ain't getting it. It is absolute trust, absolute jump in it and do it. And a lot of the times, some of the auditions that I did, I didn't see the sides until I got in there even sometimes that day. And people are going, okay, so like, this is the baby bird, and we'll start with you in the egg. And he doesn't speak English at all until about episode 5. I think. And you jump. You jump in. And, you know, they'll show you these designs, you know. When they showed me Auntie first, there was this, some woman that I don't even know how to call, a woman. She looked kind of female. Auntie first from this thing. I don't think that one's on IMDb either, but it's a series called King. And they go to a land under, and they meet with all of these crazy characters. You have to be nuts. You have to be absolutely foolish and don't care for who care and jump in. The other thing that you need, apart from absolute fearlessness, is openness. Because you have to be able to listen to your director. So it's also no good to sit down at home and go, you, I got this thing sewn up. I know who Auntie First is. I'm going to get on my best Auntie First voice. And then when you get in, they do, that was interesting. That was great. Now, if we could try something completely different. And you can't. And you can't because you've sat last night and you have worked and worked Auntie First. And that is the only thing that is in your head. And now they start talking about, you know, well, we're kind of thinking it's a cross between Donald Duck and Minnie Mouse. And you're going, really? Okay. And you switch. You're an actor, and that's why, you know, what Mommy said is exactly it. It's not about the quality of your voice. It's about your ability to act. It's about your fearlessness. It's about your openness. Yes, there are other things that will help. You know, if you can do a few accents, that's great. If you can move from your top end to your bottom end, if you've got some range, that's great. After a while, though, you are probably going to be typecast because that's just the way it works. I've got a big, deep voice. I tend to play a lot of authoritarian women. That's what I do. They're powerful. Anytime that the usual kinds of things that I used to hear all the time were power and warmth. So apparently that's what my voice has, power and a certain kind of warmth. So that's where you're gonna stay. Except that every now and again, these really cool ones, so I play tons and tons of them until it gets boring. And then every now and again, you get a really cool one, like the baby bird, or I played a little 8-year-old boy by the name of Cleon on Monster by Mistake. He had a little pet or something, and he used to turn into a monster. And Cleon was this dude. He was kind of neat, too. And you really, like, you hope for those ones, because those are the ones that just let you go out there. The other thing that you should know, and you guys would all be better at that than me, is to be up on your pop culture references. I would be so lost, because I would go in there and they'd be throwing these things at me. Well, you know, no, we're thinking that she's a little bit of, you know, and a little bit of that. And I'm going, I have no idea who you know or the other buddy is. Don't have a clue. But obviously, if this is your world, if this is how you think that you're going to be able to make money, then you need to know who Donald Duck and Minnie Mouse are. I'm reaching way back, but you need to know who they are so that when somebody tells you, when you've been doing something down here, and you're pretty sure that you've got Auntie first, you know who she is, and they go, oh, no, 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 Minnie and Donald. You can dig down into your repertoire and know exactly what it is that they're talking about and give it to them. Yeah?
Yeah. This is Kalia. We're going to go on with my interview of Matthew Clark. He is the head of Beyond Publishing, a Barbadian publishing house, currently putting out 4 titles and looking to expand.
Beyond Publishing basically is a group of artists, writers, and comic enthusiasts in Barbados, and we came together because we all had a love for the art form. We all did it as a hobby, and we wanted to see our talent actually go into production, but we weren't really prepared to wait per se for any investment or any discovery, so to speak. We just said, let's do this. So we basically started up through our own means, and we started, I think, year before last year, which is 2010, right? Yeah, we started in 2010. We released printed work at the last AnimeCon, and since then we've been producing various comics. There's Shades of Grey, Discordia, which is pretty popular, Mass Anthology, and Heartman, and Tainted Seas. Those are the titles we have in print thus far. And the aim of the group is basically to create an avenue through which persons interested in comics, writers, people who like drawing comics, illustrators, can come together, pull resources, and actually get work published. And this published work really acts also as portfolios. So some of this work now we would mail overseas to various publishers, Avatar, Marvel, DC, big and small names, in the hopes that some of us would, you know, get work or a contract or get discovered, so to speak, in that industry, the comic and animation industry. If AnimeCon did not exist, I would probably not be able to push the work as much as I can. I may not get the inspiration, because just interacting with the people and getting that feedback gives you the inspiration to come back again next year. Because there's a lot of hard work and juggling that plus a full-time job right now to pay the bills. Sometimes you can get tired. So these kind of shows really fuel me again to come back again better, with more work, keep pushing the craft, etc.
This is an interview with Josette James from Cosprops in Trinidad.
Basically, it's cosplay props, so we offer wigs, contact lenses, as well as swords, and basically any props except for guns, because you can't get that through customs. We're from Trinidad. We saw the need for it, I suppose, and the response on a local cosplayer group. I think it's Caribbean Cosplayers, right? They basically, I teamed up with them in a sense on Facebook, and then from there we decided to come across to AnimeCon. So far it's been really good, the response. In terms of the number of cosplayers that have come out, I would say that it definitely is a large number. If you want to like go to a proper con and stuff, I guess you have to come to Barbados. Yeah, cause props, you can search for us on Facebook as well. And if you're interested, we could try our best to mail the props to you.
My name is Rivenous Black, and my comic is called Discordia. Well, Discordia is a dark, surreal tale. It's about a young man who's disillusioned and cocky, thinks he's smarter than everybody else. A young 19-year-old man called Jacko Black. His day starts out really weird when he walks into a bathroom and finds himself slipping through the doorway of reality and finds himself in somewhat of a weird Alice in Wonderland, trippy dream world sort of thing. Well, I was inspired by lots of fantasy stories. There are lots of comics like The Max, Sandman, but I wanted to basically create a world where I could tell any kind of story that occurred to me so that I wouldn't get bored of it too fast. So with Discordia, it's very theme driven. Like, there are lots of different characters, lots of characters come into focus. Well, I find a lot of people, first off, are surprised that there's locally produced stuff and that it looks professional, and they're mostly impressed for the same reasons. I find the response to be very good. Like, last year, it was really good with lots of people being surprised about it. And then during the course of the year, we've gathered more fans on the Facebook pages. We produced more comics, and now there's a good set of anticipation for the comics that have been released and the comics that are on the way. The response to this year has been very good. Like, the costumes are crazy this year. They really are. It's really good to see it. And fan response has been really good. Okay, you can find Discordia on Facebook at facebook.com/discordiacomic.com. DISKORDIA. That's the fan page, and it has a link to the blog where you can read the back issues of the comic and get up to date.
And we continue with voice acting, how you can make it in the industry.
Everything is so true. And so when I meet tons and tons of actors and people submit demos, resume like daily. And then for me, a lot of casting directors just listen to your demo and say, oh, she sounds good, he sounds good, let's cast him or let's audition him. But for me, as a casting director, I have a responsibility to present you as an actor to our director and producer. I have to be able to say, yes, he can play the role. So I always love to meet them in person and audition them personally, because even you sound great on your demo, the moment I say, well, can you just a little bit do it that way? And I want to see if you can really do it. So it's really be confident and don't worry about, you know, making mistakes or anything. If you're confident, you're out there, I can say, okay, you know what? He doesn't have a match on the credits, but he must have done many different things because he's got something, you know, what he takes. But instead, I see all these credits, they come in, they can't even change the direction or nervous. Nervous tend to, you know, you kind of sort of talk like this and, you know, it doesn't sound good. So I always encourage people to just forget about yourself and be out there, don't worry about it. It is a crazy industry, and we are all used to the craziness, so don't worry about it.
I want to back up just a little bit so that we can understand sort of what the models for this industry are, how it works, and what Mammy is and how she would fit into the thing. So if you're up there and you're in LA or you're in Toronto, you have to have an agent. You have your own personal agent. That personal agent, what they're supposed to do is find you work. So what will happen, the person who tends to find you the theater and the film work in my agency is not the same person who found me voice work. The reason I was with my agency is because they had a voice department. Not all agencies did. Some agencies didn't deal with theater at all. There were only film and television. Some were film, television, and they had print work, but they don't have a voice department. So I was there because there's a voice department. So what comes into my agent is all of the things that are going to be cast for that week. She's got tons and tons of scripts and signs, tons and tons of scripts and signs. And she looks through the people that she's representing, and she goes, okay, Aztec Serpent. They say husky voice. How many husky voice actors do we have? All right, let's send Allison down. Let's send Melissa down. Let's send whoever. They send three. So each and every voice agency in the city will send their three or four. The person that they're sending them to is Mommy. She's the casting director. She's the step in between. She's the one who goes through those 30 odd people that they have sent for the one role, and she is the one who decides who the producers and the directors get to see. So you go through her first. She's the casting director.
So normally I get different agency, let's say I got 30. I will send them down, and then maybe I'll pick 8, and then I'll present that to our director and producer, and they might pick for callback audition. Then we might bring them to the studio and meet, actually have them work with the director producer. And they get the experience, okay, this actor is really good taking directions, or she could do this voice, I want to actually go for that direction instead. Kind of thing is going to be decided. So sometimes, like she said, we go through 2 or 3 callback auditions, and then they end up, we decided not to have the character in the script. Kind of thing might happen too, but it's a long process.
And like I said, there are some parts of this business when you get up there that you can do on your own. You can find theater work on your own. You can, set up your own company. Somebody can notice you. You can do a little play in the park. This work, you can't get past it, usually. Now, again, one of the things that I wanted to talk to Mommy about, because I don't know it, because I became part of the union in 1987, I have only ever done union work. I belong to 2 unions. Equity, Canadian Actors Equity, that represents you for theater, and then there's ACTRA, the Association of Canadian Television and Radio Artists, and that's everything else. And I am not allowed, because I'm a card-carrying union member, I cannot work on non-union shows. I'll get kicked out of the union. The union, you want to get into the union, I advise most young actors up there not to get into the union immediately, because it's going to cut down on the amount of work that you can do. So your friend wants you to come and voice something because he's got a really cool animated short. You want the experience. You want that animated short to get out there. You can't do it if you're already a union member. If somebody hears your voice on your friend's animated short, you're going to get a call from a steward. And you're going to get wrapped on the wrist. And so you're not allowed to do that. So I say, when you're first getting into the business, get as much work as you possibly can. This is something that you learn by doing. Yes, go to school. Yes, get the classes. Yes, do all of that. This is, the method that works best for acting. This is the Nike method. Sometimes I put an expletive in it. There is no other way. So you've got to get out there, and you've got
It's the same way in the U.S. There's a union for actors, but Ben Zoom, this half of the show we do is non-union, and half is union. So we actually work with very, very new actors all the way to the top-notch celebrity actors. And a lot of times, you will be only be able to work as non-union actor, but that's someday to move to California and become an actor. And actually, I know a lot of people like that right now. They're young, they're enthusiastic, but I think they're making the right choice because it is competitive. You know, as an actor, you want to be where Allison is, only working union, but it's very competitive. So you have to be somewhat, you know, make a decision, and this is what I want to do. And you might have to just do it.
I mean, that was the beautiful thing about staying in Toronto. So many people asked me at the height of my career when, you know, I was out there and I kept getting being trotted out, like I said, as one of the most successful black actors in Canada. And people asked why I don't go to the States. Like, the logical thing then would be to go to LA. And I said, no, because I like working. Big fish, small pond. You get more food, right? And I saw too many, remember, it may be slightly different now because the work has shifted back down to LA. You know, the Canadian dollar is just as strong as the American dollar. It's making less sense to come north now. So they have their own pool of actors and it makes much more sense. You hire your own people instead of taking all of the money and sending it to Toronto. And Canada has, I keep using Canada because the Canadian government there spent about, I don't know how much money, and you know, it's just like, they supported the film industry and supported the film industry and supported the film industry. And after 25 years of this kind of directed vision, they're now starting to see the returns on their investment. They're now starting to get television series that will play in the States. But before, it wasn't that at all. But for me, I could either stay in Toronto and just keep getting small roles, keep working. The beautiful thing was that if you went to LA and you hit it big. But I would keep hearing these kids younger than me. I mean, I had two kids, so I was not about to leave Canada to go to the States. I couldn't do it. I needed the Canadian social safety net. But there were other people who would leave Toronto and they would go down and I would hear that they were in LA. And then 6 months, a year later, they'd be in Toronto. And you go, but I thought you guys had gone down to LA. She said, yeah, I just came back up to find a little work and then I'm gonna go back down. I went, okay, I came down. I'm not going down. But it's because there was so much work happening in Toronto and the pool was that much smaller. So if your dream was not to be big and famous, I never had the dream of being Halle Berry. Remember, I'm a little black girl from Barbados in 1977. What I wanted to do was to be able to be a professional actress. It wasn't about fame, it wasn't about riches, it was to be able to do this. And that seemed like such an absolutely impossible thing to get done. To leave here and actually work as an actor and not have to do anything else, that I wanted to keep working. And the idea of going down and sitting and waiting for that big break, and plus I'd never get a green card anyway.
We're here with the Omega Nexus at AnimeCon 2012. Jason, Jason Francis of the Omega Nexus. Jason, can you tell us a little bit about the Omega Nexus?
The Omega Nexus is a story that we just released about 2 months ago. I've been working on it for a couple years. It is the story of a group of individuals in their adulthood who were trained as kids to be military weapons due to experimentation that went on their father's generation prior. That passed on to them. The story is basically the recollection tale of the military-based group trying to bring these weapons back into fruition and back into a position that they could more or less overthrow the current government. The story bases itself around three brothers, the Slade brothers, including the individual that's on the cover, which is Ty Slade. There's also Ryan and Michael. This story basically, as much as it's a superhero type fantasy based story, it's very much about the individuals and the personalities. A lot of people who have read it thus far really buy into the personal stories, the romance stories that happen in the individual levels. So that's what we're introducing right now. At this point, we've actually, in the first couple hours, we actually sold out of all the books that we brought with us, from New York. So we're doing real good. I can let people know we're working on the next book, which is the prequel. We're going to go back and tell the story of the kids' training and their upbringing in their youth before they got to this particular position. So that's what we're working on next. This story, it's just the introduction. There's a lot more coming. We have a lot more planned for this main series, and hopefully the people like it.
That's awesome, Jason. I'm just wondering, how come you guys decided to go independent as opposed to going with one of the big two companies?
Well, to be perfectly honest, the initial idea was just something we had, and we said, let's throw it out there and see what people think. Once it got out, a few people took notice of it, wanted to put some money behind it, so we actually went the route of going to the bigger companies. We got mixed reviews, not in terms of the content, but this is where you meet the ugly side of the business. Sort of like, well, you don't have X amount of a following yet, we don't want to put money behind you. We don't know how to sell black characters, so how about you change them and do this and do that, and maybe, you know, we could do something with them. Or, we're more experienced, let us buy it from you, do whatever you want to do with it, and you'll get like a buyout amount initially. We didn't want to do any of that. You know, there were some people, without putting the names out, there was a very prominent actor who saw the script and liked it, but he was already committed to a superhero project at that time, so he couldn't do anything with it. So, you know, at the end of the day, we realized if we wanted to really be independent and give this to the people, we had to do it our way. So, you know, we're putting it out there slowly. Once again, this is New York-based, but obviously we're here in Barbados, the home of the authors themselves. So, you know, we have no problem, you know, grinding and giving it out to people one at a time, place by place. It's a little more, you know, satisfying that way. And, you know, the bigger companies, the bigger entities, they'll learn of us and they'll come when they're ready.
So you find the Beijing public has been receiving it well?
Oh, definitely. There's an energy here. Like, I knew it was going to be good because of the online interaction I had with people on Facebook and Twitter, but the energy here has been great. We've had parents, we've had kids of all nationalities down here supporting it, asking about us, engaging it online, posing for pictures. Like, we haven't had a negative response yet. So, I mean, if this is at least a hint of what we have coming for, I mean, we're definitely coming back to Barbados for follow-up projects, so... Definitely. The island has really welcomed us.
That's awesome. So how have you been finding AnimeCon 2012 in general?
I would define it as, honestly, a pleasant surprise. I didn't know how big it was going to be. I didn't know how energetic everything was going to be. You know, we were here from setup, and from the moment 12 o'clock hit, the floodgates open, people are in here, the kids are active, the adults, like... Back in New York at times, like with Comic-Con and other things, it gets to a point where that's kind of the cool place to be. So people show up to kind of see what's happening, but they're not really that engaged in the culture. The people come here, the parents know the characters, the kids know the characters, they're asking questions, and, you know, it's a real good feeling. So you know that when you put out a certain project, you know, it's not just you being crazy. Like, there's an audience for this.
Jason, what's the website?
Or if you want to reach us, you can reach us at www.omeganexus.com. From there, you can link to our Facebook. We have a Facebook page, a Facebook group where we just talk this type of content. You can link us through Twitter as well. That's at the Omega Nexus. We're very interactive on the social media. We get in touch with everybody. But everything you want from us as far as communication, the book sales and our merchandise, everything is through www.omeganexus.com.
This has been episode 3 of the Outsiders Comic Book Underground podcast. Remember, you can find our episodes on iTunes. You can follow us on Facebook, The Outsiders Comic Book Underground, or you can follow us on the web, theoutsiderscomic.blogspot.com.